This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, August 27th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Utility crews are still working to restore power to thousands of customers left in the dark after storms rolled through northern Illinois last week. ComEd spokeswoman Arlana Johnson says about 850 repair crews are working to get the lights back on for about 7,700 customers this morning. The bulk of those outages are in Chicago's northern suburbs. Johnson says power has already been restored to more than 625,000 ComEd customers. Republicans running for Congress in Illinois' 14th district have a third official candidate. Dairy magnate Jim Oberweis threw his hat into the ring yesterday. He announced his candidacy in North Aurora. Tony Arnold has more.
The 14th district is an open seat now that Dennis Hastert has said he's retiring. That's opened the gate for Republicans to try to replace him. Oberweis is the owner of Oberweis Dairy. He even chose one of his stores, located on Ice Cream Drive, believe it or not, to make his announcement.
I declare that I am a candidate for the United States House of Representatives and that I will seek the Republican nomination to represent the 14th district in the next Congress of the United States. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you. And if you hang around for just a minute, we're going to have some Oberweis ice cream to celebrate. Thanks.
Campaign staffers and relatives then handed out free ice cream samples to the 100 or so supporters. Oberweis has run unsuccessfully for governor and U.S. senator. Two other Republicans are running against him, Geneva Mayor Kevin Burns and State Senator Chris Lawson. Three Democrats are also running for the seat. I'm Tony Arnold.
Preparations are being made for the 2009 Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial. But as Amanda Venicky reports, Illinois is putting less into the celebration than two neighboring states that also lay claim to Lincoln.
Illinois may be the land of Lincoln, but Lincoln was born in Kentucky and he grew up in Indiana. And both of those states are putting more money into the bicentennial than Illinois. State legislators allocated $3.5 million to go to the multi-year event. But when he made cuts to the Illinois budget, Governor Rod Blagojevich reduced that amount by more than two-thirds to $1 million. Illinois Historic Preservation Agency spokesman Dave Blanchette says even though Kentucky and Indiana may be spending more money now, it's not a problem.
Well, you have to remember that Illinois has long been known as the land of Lincoln, so we are starting out a step ahead of Kentucky and Indiana in that respect.
Blanchette says Illinois is working with the other states and a national commission to cooperatively plan the bicentennial. A spokeswoman for Kentucky's Bicentennial Commission agrees. But along with cooperation, there are bragging rights involved. She adds one of her state's goals is to position Abraham Lincoln as a Kentuckian. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Animal rights activists angered by the Michael Vick dogfighting case are pushing for Indiana lawmakers to toughen the state's law against dogfighting. Evansville Animal Control and Education Commission President Marlon Beck wants the state to make attending a dogfight a felony rather than a misdemeanor offense. Organizing or promoting a dogfight is a felony, but Indiana is one of 26 states in which watching an animal fighting contest is a misdemeanor offense. Vandenberg County Deputy Prosecutor Danita Farr, who handles animal-related criminal cases, has endorsed the campaign. She says criminal cases involving dogfighting are rare in southwestern Indiana. A stretch of Interstate 80-94 in northwest Indiana is open this morning after being closed since Friday by floodwaters from last week's storms. The expressway's eastbound lanes reopened last night after crews pumped out floodwater up to 3 feet deep at points between Klein Avenue and Indianapolis Boulevard in Hammond. Meanwhile, St. Margaret Mercy Hospital in Dyer has opened a temporary emergency room, but the 66 patients who were evacuated Friday have not returned, and hospital officials haven't said when they will begin admitting new patients. Indiana's schools are trying to rein in troubled students by training teachers how to defuse situations, using mentors to work with students, and experimenting with a range of other tactics. An analysis by the Indianapolis Star found that there's plenty of problematic students in the state's classrooms. During the 2005-2006 school year, the most recent data available, more than 313,000 suspensions were reported at Indiana's 1,800 schools. That means there's an average of more than 1,700 suspensions each school day in Indiana. Schools facing those and other discipline problems are responding with a wide range of tactics. Some dole out more and more suspensions, while others train teachers to defuse situations and use mentors to give students a sense of belonging. Starting next year, buying a vehicle in Illinois will become more expensive. A new state law will nearly triple the amount dealers can charge for paperwork known as dock fees to $150. Joe McMahon represents Illinois auto dealers and says the increase is justified.
In the last, I want to say, dozen years, there have been like 76 new federal laws, state laws regarding, you know, paperwork. So a little more work these days.
McMahon says dealers also have to do numerous computer upgrades, which can be costly. Dock fees are usually tacked on in the final stages of negotiating a vehicle purchase once the buyer has already agreed on a price for the car or truck. Consumer advocates point out the fee amount can always be negotiated prior to signing a deal. Unlike Illinois, some states have no ceiling on how much dealers can charge. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Michael Vick's apparent involvement in dogfighting continues to make headlines, bringing to the forefront not only the dogfighting problem, but also a relatively unknown federal law prohibiting such actions. Here's commentator Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
The only sort of dogfight I thought that the federal government cared about was one in the skies during a war. Then Michael Vick and friends made headlines, and the federal dogfighting statute made it into my consciousness. When I say dogfighting, I mean dogs tussling and biting and getting so rough that one is left for dead or left absolutely dead. The Humane Society describes this sort of dogfighting as a sadistic contest in which two dogs, specifically bred, conditioned, and trained to fight, are placed in a pit to fight each other for the spectators' entertainment and gambling. I've watched Animal Cops enough to know that dogfighting happens. I just thought that state legislatures individually would be the ones to tackle the problem, not Congress. But there it is in the U.S. Code, a statute titled more generally, Animal Fighting Venture Prohibition. The law makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly sponsor or exhibit an animal in an animal fighting venture if any animal in the venture was moved in interstate or foreign commerce. It's also against the law to sell, buy, transport, deliver, or receive for purposes of transportation in interstate commerce any dog or other animal that will participate in such a venture. The law's been around for a little over 40 years, not as part of the criminal code, but part of our agriculture laws. Congress passed it to combat what one court said was an escalating problem concerning pets being stolen for use in medical research and abusive animal research projects. Dogfighting became a part of the law when, according to that same court, dogfighters began meeting up for regional conventions and when they started to advertise in nationally circulated magazines. When you hear the language of the statute, you might alert on words and phrases that sound quite precise and therefore words and phrases that would be inviting for a criminal defense attorney. What's a venture anyway? What constitutes interstate or foreign commerce? And isn't it up to the states to police this sort of thing? A federal court in Texas handled every single one of those issues about 10 years ago. The feds had charged a man with dogfighting after he'd served as a referee for a dogfight. He argued that his actions didn't meet the precise language of the law, that one fight wasn't a venture, that interstate commerce wasn't involved since he and both dogs were from Texas, and that it wasn't fair that the federal government get into an area of law traditionally set aside for states. He lost on all counts. The court found that Congress intended that venture be interpreted broadly, and that a referee's actions during one dogfight helped the entire venture along and shouldn't be viewed in isolation. Movement of any persons or any information or any dogs across state lines satisfied the interstate commerce requirement. Finally, state autonomy couldn't stop Congress from venturing into ventures it felt needed criminalizing at the federal level when the enterprise itself crossed state borders. The bottom line, to paraphrase the court, Congress didn't intend that one guy from Texas who refereed one fight in Texas between two Texas dogs get away with it. And so today, some 11 years later, the statute stands, in addition to multiple state laws criminalizing the practice. And Michael Vick has learned, as have so many others, that Congress can indeed make a federal case out of dogfighting. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Forecast today calls for sunny skies, the high of 88 degrees, clear this evening, the low 64, sunny, hot, more humid tomorrow, the high 92, tomorrow night mostly clear, the low 66, for Wednesday, mostly sunny and hot with a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm during the late afternoon and evening with a high around 90. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, August 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.